Knock, knock.
Who's there?
AJ.
AJ who?
I'm AJ and I sound like this. Durr!
That was just me.
Welcome to the Exploding Barrel Podcast for June 18th, 2011. This is Mike Minotti. I'm joined by my brother, AJ.
Hello.
How you doing?
Oh, delightful.
Great, we got those pleasantries done with. All right, so we'll start with the news. Then this is my first show since being back from E3, so I guess I'll talk about E3 a bit.
Yep.
You can, So we'll kind of do that for our second segment. Then
that's kind of what I figured.
Yeah, then we'll do our week in gaming and the releases, and that'll be the show. So get us started. What's the news?
All right, so let's start with the May NPD numbers, shall we?
Why not?
L.A. Noire, one. Figure. Brink.
But AJ, we don't have any more original IPs anymore, and they can't possibly sell well.
Well, then Brink's number two.
Oh, man. See, I saw somebody complaining about sequelitis again, which is off to happen. And is it kind of a problem? Sure. I don't see it as a problem that has actually increased at all. I feel like we've had this problem, if it is a problem, since...
Yeah, I was going to say, it's not really a problem, right. It's a trend.
Like, if sure, I ask but... somebody what your favorite Super Nintendo game was, you are going to probably tell me Super Mario World, or Link to the Past, or Final Fantasy VI, you know? I mean, at least these are all... Most of these are sequels to IPs created within this generation.
Yeah,
like, the fact that we're only up to three on most of these, hey, that's not too bad. I don't know, though.
Let's see. Because we also have, I'll go down the list real quick. Lego Pirates of the Caribbean, Portal 2,
nice.
Mortal Kombat, Call of Duty Black Ops, Zumba Fitness, Join the Party, NBA 2K11, random, Just Dance 2, and Lego Star Wars 3, The Clone Wars.
Not a single Nintendo game on there. On any system.
You mean made by Nintendo?
Sure.
Well, yeah, because I mean Just Dance 2, it's
okay,
just
whatever.
The Wii version. But,
we're like, you don't even have a DS game on there for like once.
Just like the Lego games, yeah.
I guess that Mario Kart and New Super Mario Brothers are finally done.
Good thing the 3DS ones are coming out.
That they had a decent run.
Yeah.
Next. I mean, I guess not really much more to say about that, is there?
Okay.
Right, okay, good.
So this fall, how would you like to get an idea of what the Wii U will be like today in the fall?
I understand.
What's happening is you're familiar with the game Real Racing 2?
No.
It's an iPad racing game. It's very good.
Okay.
And when the iOS 5 update comes out, which is enhancing the abilities of AirPlay, you'll be able to do kind of like a Wii U sort of thing, where the game does this now with an HDMI cable. This will allow it to do it wirelessly, where you play the game on a HDTV in 1080p, and the iPad is like the controller for steering. It has all the telemetry on the screen and everything.
I see.
It's pretty cool.
Mm-hmm.
MotorStorm Apocalypse has been canceled outright in Japan.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Interesting.
Yeah, it's just not coming out. I'll talk about that game later. I played the demo.
Oh, nice.
So, with the Wii U, currently, Nintendo is saying that, so far, it only supports one of those pads.
That's gotta change, right?
They cite pricing as the reason.
Okay, but like, how do you handle all of the many multiplayer games that they love to do? Like
they
Smash Brothers and Mario Kart.
They seem to think that, like, a primary player will have the Wii U controller, and everyone else will either use a classic controller or a Wii
Mote
nunchuck.
Primary controller? Because there is there's no primary player in Mario Kart or Smash Brothers.
Well, yeah.
You're all on equal terms, and nobody wants to use the Wii Mote and nunchuck to play Smash Brothers, ever.
What about the classic controller?
That's not much better.
Do you think it will get into fights of, like, you got the one with the screen, I want that one.
I literally just don't believe this.
Like, plus, with them not selling this controller separately, like, what happens if you break it? You can't buy another one.
I understand pricing concerns, so they don't want people to go out and buy extra controllers?
Yeah, it's dumb. Like, let the market decide.
Like, if I want to go buy another one of your expensive controllers so I can have two people playing on my system, what do you care?
I think they don't want to come off as like, we're trying to milk you for money with this high-priced controller, which...
This sounds like a stupid decision that they haven't talked through yet, and once they do, hopefully they'll realize how stupid it sounds.
quick aside, does it feel like to you like they really weren't ready to announce this system yet?
I mean, definitely, no, it just, it kind of came off earlier than I thought it would, sure. And maybe they probably don't have as much to show as we thought. Did they do it a little early because they kind of have to? Are they in panic mode because the Wii is falling off the charts like mad? Sure. They had to show like something out there.
I feel like they're just like, yeah, here's this controller with the screen in it, and our system's going to look good. People are like, well, like, what's your online features?
Yeah, excuse me, sir, I have a question.
It'll be there.
But, yeah.
Yeah, then it's like, well, what games are you guys making? We have none to announce this time. We might make Pikmin on this now. We're thinking about it, possibly.
Yeah, probably Pikmin Smash Bros., you know. The usual.
Yeah, I mean, it's like, okay, well, like, how much does it cost? Oh, we're not prepared to talk about that. And it's like, honestly, it's like they just wanted to show this controller and get it out there, but I feel like...
That's what happened.
I mean, you look at how, like, their stock kept dropping throughout the week, and Iwata was, like, confused.
I don't know. I mean, ultimately, when this system comes out, I will be stunned if you cannot use more than one of the actual controllers on it, since that's the entire point of the system.
Mm-hmm.
Like, unless there's, like, they're gonna release a separate controller for it that's just gonna be, like, a normal controller, doesn't have a screen on it.
That's the thing, too. Like, I mean, if you use a classic controller, you still have to plug it into a Wii remote and have a Wii remote sitting on your lap. They need, like, just an actual controller.
Right. Yeah. But there's no way.
Can't use a WaveBird anymore.
Sadly. Next.
Okay. Best Buy has outed Robin as a playable character in Batman Arkham City. Kind of like the way Joker was playable in the PS3 version of the last one, just like in challenge maps.
Right. I mean, you know, that's a nice exclusive for them, I guess.
So, Peter Molyneux,
that bastard,
has admitted that he made a dire, dire mistake.
Like, by making Fable 3?
No. See, here's the thing.
Yes.
When they were demoing Fable the Journey, they decided to remove the navigation controls from the press demo and what they showed at the Microsoft presser to simplify it, but it gave a wrong impression that the game is on rails.
No, how could that have happened? When you put your demo on rails, how would people think that the game was on rails? I don't understand.
So here's what Peter said.
Mm-hmm.
He said, I'll just say on record now that Fable the Journey is definitely not on rails. He then wrote it on the wall and then made all the journalists who were in the room sign it to say that they agreed with him.
I don't understand. How is that not on rails?
Well, apparently there is some kind of navigation control scheme that they didn't feel like showing.
Because it's probably shit. Look, you can't navigate a 3D space with the Kinect. Well, the Disneyland Kinect game has something in place to navigate Disneyland. And the way it works is you stick your hand in front of you if you want to go forward and like you move it left and right. It is god-awful. That was by far the worst thing about that game. Like, that's the one point where you're surely like, God, I wish I had an analog stick right now. Can I just use my controller here? I'll stand up and use my controller to navigate this area. How about that? And he knows it. Why do you think they didn't show it then? Because he knows it's shit. You can't navigate a 3D space with the Kinect. You can't. And the game is... Look, I don't know. Maybe like there'll be a point where you point and click where you want to go, and he's going to say, see, it's not on rails. It'll be practically on rails. Just like that Star Wars game. Just like any of these other so-called hardcore Kinect games. God, okay. It's stupid. Can we, like, stop talking about Peter Molyneux as a genius now? He's making his fourth straight Fable game.
That is true.
If these people were such geniuses, I feel like they would, like... You know, and I know earlier before I was like, oh, SQLite isn't a problem. Okay, but you can't, like, tell me that, like, you're some great guy in our industry when, like, you seem to cling to your franchise like it's your, you know, your gravy train. Like, that's all you have. Journey. God. The Age of Heroes is done in Albion. Now you just play this guy who's doing heroic things. Isn't that a hero, Peter Molyneux? No. I don't understand.
He wasn't born that way. Basically meaning you don't play as a kid at the beginning of the game.
Oh, okay. Well, that's fine.
I guess. I don't know.
Yeah, Mr. Molyneux, I have a couple questions.
No one knows what we're quoting. Okay, so on Steam, the free-to-play model has arrived. There's 5 free-to-play games. Most notable among them is Champions Online, microtransactions supported through the Steam payment system.
Mm-hmm.
There you go.
Remember Champions Online being really boring when I tried the beta or whatever.
I never really played it. It wouldn't run on my computer.
It's boring. I was like, right, man, then. I played this in 2003 when it was called City of Heroes. I'm tired of it.
Probably still better. Not getting free to play will be the Wii U. When asked about it, Iwata kind of gave his thing he always said too about like 99-cent iPhone games. He doesn't want to undervalue software.
Sure. I don't
which
know.
Is basically just him saying, I'd rather make money.
Well, I mean, none of the big three are going to do free to play games anytime soon.
Microsoft almost did. Remember? Oh, that's right.
They want to do free realms or something.
Well, no, that's Sony, and they do it. It's on the PS3. Oh. Remember Microsoft originally what became how's it called? Kinect, the racing one.
Oh yeah, Joyride. That was going
to
be
Joyride. Yeah,
game.
That was supposed to be like a free to play Xbox Live game.
Whoops.
Indeed.
I mean, the title will give shit away for free. I
think it's just funny too
not Mario Land, like that Excite Bike thing, but you know,
yeah.
Not literally like a free to play MMO.
Like with microtransactions and stuff, right. Which is funny too, because I mean, like the game that they really seem to kind of hinge on for the Wii U is Ghost Recon Online, which on PC is free to play. Whoops.
Oh well.
Oh, Double Fine has acquired the publishing rights to Psychonauts. Basically, this just means that if you buy Psychonauts, like good old games or Xbox originals, they get all the money now.
So, like, the $5 it probably takes to buy that game anymore?
Right.
Nice.
Hey. Okay. Here's some controversy.
No goody.
And for once, I'm on your side on this.
Thank you. But let's talk about it.
So, mysteriously, a few days ago, Crysis 2 was pulled from Steam. Now, everyone cried foul at EA because EA just launched their online store system called Origin. And Crysis 2 was listed on Origin as being, like, only on EA's Origin. But it's still available on, like, Direct Drive and Impulse. People are like, what the hell is this bullshit? Fuck you, EA. It took a couple days, but then EA came out and said, hey, look, we didn't do this. We just got this thing. It was like, Crysis 2's not on Steam anymore. And apparently we violated something that Valve put up. They don't say what it is, and people have reached out to Valve. So far, no response.
Well, I think apparently, like, Valve, like, what I heard is that Valve's not happy that it's on Origin, basically.
Oops.
So,
I think they're going to have to get over it.
But
I
here's the thing that bugs me, is that when it was falsely reported that EA forced Valve to take down Crysis 2 from Steam so it can only be exclusive on their store, everyone was pissed. Like, oh, fuck you, EA, we hate you, and you're evil. And then it was like, no, it turns out Valve took it down, and everyone's like, oh, okay. Like, no one's mad anymore because it's Valve, and they're the industry darling, and they can't do no wrong. Even though they did the exact same thing that you were about to post an angry blog about for EA. It's just, it drives me crazy sometimes. Like, I like Valve, they make great games, but, God, guys. Does your hand hurt from, like, constantly throwing out those free passes?
I thought you were going to say something else.
Oh, yeah, that's funny, too. But I mean,
I just think it's stupid because I mean, if you're like bitter that they're selling a game on their own storefront, guess what? You guys are winning. If given my druthers, I'd rather buy Crysis 2 from you, but now you've taken away that option. So guess who's getting the money?
Right. And to be honest, even if this, if it was that you know, they forced Valve to take it off of Steam, that's not like hugely shocking or upsetting, is it? Like, oh no, now you can only buy their game from their store.
I said.
Like you can't buy. I mean, I assume that all Valve games are only on Steam, right?
Yes.
So, let's see, again, the double standard.
Oh, they got there first.
Oh, okay. They got there first. They're allowed to, because they're Valve, is what you're basically saying. Which kind is of. Everybody's argument now. Seriously, I saw so many people who are fucking pissed out of their minds about EA. Like, oh, EA's their dicks again, and
They're dicks again.
No. Whoops. They didn't do anything wrong this time, and then anything. Like, everyone's like, oh shit, Valve did it. But we like Valve. Ooh, just pretend like this didn't happen. Pretend like, oh, I didn't read about that. What are you talking about? Some people still think EA did it, and they're still upset. God, like one of these days, Valve is going to do something. I assume it's in their makeup. They'll do some sort of big fuck up. Gabe Newell will say something exceedingly stupid. Kind of like he almost did. He was like, oh, we don't want to make single-player games anymore. What? Wait, what'd you say, Game Jewel?
Kind of what you guys do pretty well.
Because that's you know, we like Team Fortress 2, but that's what you guys do. You guys made Half-Life. I'm done.
Like Bobby Flay saying, I'm never using a grill again.
Yeah. I'm only
do that.
Steaming now.
There we go. Okay, let's move on now.
That's done. Unintentional right. Pun, we're finished.
Yes. So for the upcoming Halo Fest, 343 Industries has come up with a very novel idea. They'll be showing off the Halo Anniversary Edition. And what they're doing is they acquired a bunch of original Xbox controllers, a.k.a. the Duke. And they're going to, like, this is just like a custom-made one-off. They're not going to be selling these or anything, but they're going to get, like, some modder to basically put the guts of a 360 controller in it so that you can play at Halo Fest the Halo Anniversary with the original Xbox controller.
I think they felt like that everyone's going to think this is cool, but I feel like the reaction is no. God, no.
No,
why?
No, the reaction has been, I want one of those.
No. Who wants one?
A lot of people.
No. Yeah. No one wants that.
Just for irony.
They're wrong. Oh, I mean, so you're going to spend $40 on irony?
I don't know, Michael. People have spent $40 on far worse. I'm not saying I am.
$40 on irony. That's the name of this episode. $40 on irony.
Okay. I mean, they're literally
$50. It's probably going to cost $50.
Yeah. They're literally getting four of these made. I mean, this isn't like a big
they better.
To-do.
Just because they know they wouldn't have a Halo sell. Fest. I'd hope.
No, I mean, they're getting these custom made. They're not like manufactured.
That's what I'm saying.
Like
that's why they're
guy,
not.
They found a guy who's going to make them.
Yeah, I know. Whatever. Ugh, the Duke. God, that was a terrible, terrible control. You defended that thing too, like the fanboy you were.
I did.
You were like, I liked how there's this point where the Dreamcast died, and me and you were like, well, we need a new system. And I was like, I'm going to do GameCube. You're like, I'm going to do Xbox this time. Like, okay. Like, you were instantly a defensive fanboy about everything but Xbox. Like, immediately. You're like, hey, that controller looks pretty dumb. Shut up, it's good. I like it, actually, because my hands are big, and it kind of, I think it's actually more comfortable than other controllers, actually. I was like, okay.
I didn't know it was Brian Regan.
Yeah. And then as soon as that Type S controller came out, guess who's first in line to pick that up? Edge guy. Whoops. Okay, next.
Very strong rumor seems to indicate that Mass Effect 3 will have some Horde-style co-op multiplayer mode.
That sounds stupid. God.
It'll be mainly completely separate from the campaign.
I'm sure it will like be, it... but this has Bioshock 2 multiplayer written all over it.
Yeah, probably.
If I'm going to do that shit, I'm going to do it in Gears of War or Halo or any of the other millions of shooters that do it. I'm not going to do it in Mass Effect.
All right, then.
That's stupid. That's just dumb. And maybe it'll be better at Kinect, though. Probably not. I still like that. Like, here's the Kinect support. It's voice commands. You can do that on the other systems too, probably. Whoops. Next.
Where'd I go? Oh, so Bobby Kotick is getting into acting.
How so?
Oh, you didn't see this?
No.
So, Brad Pitt has a new movie coming out, and the name of that movie is something with money in the title. Where'd it go? Moneyball.
Money.
Basically, it's a movie about Brad Pitt becoming an owner of a baseball team, and he breaks all the rules, and it's all crazy. And, he breaks baseball by picking players differently. Actually, kind of looks like a good movie. Anyway, there's a scene in the trailer where, like, Brad Pitt is sitting at, like, the other side of a desk, like, making some pitch, and, like, the camera cuts, and it's, like, Bobby Kotick in this, like, white sweater going, you can't have any more money, or something. It's like, what? What?
Why Bobby Kotick? I don't understand.
Apparently, he asked to be in the movie.
Huh.
I guess he's got that much clout now.
Does he like baseball a lot?
Maybe.
Because his company does not make a baseball game.
That's true.
It's like one of the few sports they don't cover. So if he likes baseball so much, I don't know. Okay, then. Nice.
So yeah, he's now an actor.
No, that's not.
Redbox now has video games for you to rent at $2 per day.
I wonder how many, because, like, that box can only hold so many things. Like, if, like, the next Halo comes out, or Call of Duty, like, will they just run out after a little bit? I have a lot of questions about that, but I mean...
Well, I believe Redbox has an app you can get on smartphones where you can see the availability of stuff and even reserve it.
Whoa.
Yeah, that way you aren't wasting a trip.
Yes. Next.
All right, so we had a bit of a PR snafu in the wake of Duke Nukem Forever coming out.
Right.
So Jim Redner of the Redner Group, who's doing all of 2K's PR, said this on Twitter. Too many went too far with their reviews.
Too far, damn it.
We are reviewing, just R, the letter R, we are reviewing who gets games next time and who doesn't based on today's Venom.
Venom. I like they threw Venom out there.
So he immediately backtracked, apologized, said it was done out of emotion, emailed personally people who he offended to apologize. Yeah, 2K dropped Redner Group.
Right. Now, interesting thing about it is that this is what happens. This is how the industry works. It's just that he came out and said it.
Yeah.
Which was a mistake. Yeah, he got in trouble, though. I mean, I'm glad that it's the other way around. It's not like, oh no, it turns out that some journalist was afraid of giving the game a bad score. No, we gave the game bad scores, and then this guy had a meltdown. Probably because he's... It's a weird job, though, because, like, they basically tell PR, like, get us an 8. Like, what is he going to do when he's representing Duke Nukem Forever, and it's bad? Yeah, if PR, I'd be like,
make a better game.
Like, well, there's only so much I can do here. Guys, I feel like this was his last desperate attempt, was threats. And, I mean, the Gearbox guy was making threats, too, before the game came out, which, you know, was a bad sign that wasn't going to do well. He's like, oh, yeah, people who say they hate this game are... you know, not gonna, or dumb, like, before it came out. Like, he knew it was gonna happen.
That, to me, felt a little bit like, remember when The Passion came out, and Mel Gibson was, like, out there responding to the controversy before there was any controversy?
Yeah.
It ended up being really big PR for the film. I almost feel like that's what Randy Pitchford was doing.
Exactly.
Because even his follow-up thing, like, he seems to be kind of tongue-in-cheek about it, but he always has been about this game. He's like, he said something like, oh, you know, the game's selling pretty well. I guess sometimes people just want a greasy cheeseburger than caviar.
Or something stupid. What exactly is the caviar in this argument?
I don't know.
Is Call of Duty the caviar?
No, I hope not.
What's the caviar?
I don't think it was meant to be taken quite so literally.
Okay, good. Ugh.
But, yeah, you see, too, like, the voice actor for Duke Nukem was like, oh, these know-nothing journalists don't know what they're talking about.
God, it's so fucking annoying.
It's like, you know, if the game would have gotten good reviews, we'd be like, oh, these guys are the men. They know what they're talking about.
Exactly. Oh, these journalists are morons, and I hate them. They're real mature guys. Like, what do they think that it is? Like, everyone had a meeting, like, a cave, like, guys, Duke Nukem Forever, we got the word from upstairs. We're gonna slam it. We're taking it down, but I liked it. It's actually pretty good. We don't care. Giving it a 5 out of what? 10. Oh no. Oh god. Duke Nukem must fail.
Like all like the editors in chiefs from like every website, like there's like Stephen Totello and Jim Sterling all around like an evil table with like red light.
Like what do they think this is?
Look, everyone, like, I don't know who's shocked that Duke Nukem Forever is not a good game. A game that's not in development for 15 years and comes out game of the year. It doesn't happen.
I haven't played it. I don't know. I'm just...
It's shitty.
I just hate this thing where it's like, oh, these reviewers...
I played that demo for 5 minutes and turned it off because I was bored.
I just don't know. It's just... I hate when these... When everyone gets all butthurt about the reviews, especially when it doesn't matter. This game's gonna sell well anyways.
You know, it's funny you should say butthurt. That is an unexpected segue to my next story.
Alright then.
We're gonna talk about Tahaxors.
Oh no.
So first some guy from Anonymous came out and basically said that everyone who whined about the PSN being down were just a bunch of butthurt idiots.
Why?
Because we should have seen the greater good that was at work here and should have been willing to sacrifice to get their point across.
By the way, what was the greater good? What was the point?
There is no point. They're a bunch of douchebags.
You notice, like, these guys and LulzSec, like, whenever they say something in a PR thing, I just want to kick them in the nuts.
Oh, look,
that's
we'll
all I
want to
do, because they all have this arrogant tone like they're saving the world and that we are, like, some peons or, like, some... like casualties that just must happen. Like they're playing God or something. It's so fucking annoying.
Well, let's see. In the last week, I've gotten emails from Sega,
BioWare, EVE Online, like four other places saying that their security has been compromised, and it's, these guys fully claim responsibility. Ball said, their whole thing is, oh, we're doing it for the lulz. No, you're doing it because you're a bunch of fuck-ups.
And what does that mean? And they're like, oh, we'll just do it until we stop being, you know, until we start being bored by it. I'm like, okay.
Well, here's what I think
is
funny.
Are you bored yet?
You know, it was one of the websites that they brought down with the denial of service attack?
Who?
The CIA. Guess what? Spies are coming after you, assholes.
Man, that's going to be so great, by the way, when these people go to jail, and they're like, these, like, 26-year-old nerds, and they're like, oh, no, I didn't know, and, like, you know, they're talking all tough, like, yeah, we're going to do it till we stop being amused by it, and we do what we want, and then, like, CIA's going to come, like, oh, guess who's going to be raped in jail in the butt now, and I'm going to laugh the whole time.
Yep.
I will not feel bad anymore. Like, at first I was, like, thinking about Anonymous, like, I'm going to feel bad for these guys when, like, you know, shit comes down on them. I mean, call me crazy, but I assume that our government has resources at least as good as these guys.
I assume
that they'll be caught eventually, right?
They post on Twitter every time they do something. You know how traceable that is?
Like, that's what I'm thinking. Like, I don't know anything about this, but I feel like these guys can only get away with so much.
Yeah.
And, you know, I can't wait till they get caught.
Well, it's not like they're just kicking a hornet's nest. It's like there's 20 hornet's nests all lined up and they kick them all. You're gonna get stung.
I hate them so much. I hate people who, like, encourage them. I hate that people, like, when they release people's accounts and they, like, use it. Like, oh, this is funny. Is it?
No. They're like, oh, we, like, sent a bunch of condoms to some 60-year-old lady. It was hilarious. Like, no, it wasn't. Unless you're at her doorstep to see her reaction, there's nothing funny about it.
Right. It's not...
You don't know what happened. She might have said, oh, this is amazing. I'm so lucky.
Yeah.
And then it's not funny anymore. Maybe she really needed some condoms.
Okay, anyway, but it's just all very dumb and annoying. Like so any time that they release their press releases and, like, they have this weird, arrogant tone, it's infinitely annoying.
Yes.
Let's move on, because I don't like them. Or talking.
I'm ending with some good news.
Okay.
Bring us back up to a chipper tone. So if you go to the official Team Fortress website right now, it's covered in pigeon poop.
Is it?
Yes.
Oh.
And there's, like, all these, like, pigeons. If you click on three of the pigeons, you're taken to three separate JPEGs. One of the outside of a hospital, one of a waiting room, and one of a doctor's office. Everyone, the Meet the Medic video is nigh.
Yay.
I know. I just want to see it. Then we just need one more.
Hooray. Oh, yeah.
I went on the site today. Like, they have icons for all nine of them. Meet the whoever. And, like, Pyro and Medic are great out. You realize it's been 2 years since Meet the Spy came out?
Really?
Yeah. Let that sink in.
Wait, since Meet the Spy came out, that one was, like, one of the newer ones.
2 years it's been, Mike.
Was that the last one they did?
Yeah.
Oh, Jesus. Oh, my God. man. Yeah. I guess I've been busy with Portal 2 or something.
Right.
Or, you know, that Left 4 Dead 2 thing no one wanted. Okay. I'm sure someone wanted it. Don't send me an angry tweet. I know you guys like your zombies. I don't.
Okay, I'm done.
Cool. How do you want me to do this E3 thing? Why do you ask me?
I was going to say, I will interview you.
Yeah, engage me in conversation about it. Ask me some questions about E3. Because, I mean, I know a lot of you have heard, you've all read about E3. You're probably all borderline sick of it already, but too bad. I still have, you know, my shit to say about it. Damn it.
Okay. Tell me about the Wii U. You played it. Give me your hands-on impressiones.
Ignore that burp. That had nothing to do with the Wii U. It was cool.
Okay.
I thought it was pretty neat. The tech demo, like, the best tech demo was the one called Battle Me, where it was like kind of a weird Metroid-y thing where somebody was in a spaceship, and they were on the Wii U control, and they just looked at that, and there's, like, gyroscope controls involved. And the other people had split-screen Wiimote nunchuck. And, like, the idea is that the person with the Wii U controller had kind of a better, you know, vision, you know, kind of a thing, because he was in the sky and all that stuff. It was kind of neat, because that was, like, something that couldn't really entirely do before. Then there was like a Rhythm Heaven kind of game where it was like you had a shield and you like brought up the things. You know, basically it was, you know, here are the gimmicks you can do with the controller, and our graphics look nice now and everything. The gimmicks, that's nice. I think that's gonna play out within the first 2 years of the system, mostly, and like that bottom screen is basically just gonna be what the pause screen would be, you know, or the map. Like, kind of like with the DS, however, but we all thought the gimmick with the DS was going to be, oh, it has two screens. Turns out that really wasn't all that important. That bottom screen just became sometimes filler. Something that you would normally have gotten by pushing the pause button or something. You know, the touchscreen was the important thing there. You know, maybe the fact that that is a touchscreen or whatever, that'll come into play sometimes. But I was just more concerned that, yeah, the games do look good. They had, like, that Zelda, like, in theory thing. Like, oh, this is what a Zelda game might look like. I'm like, thanks for showing me this before Skyward Sword came out.
Yeah. Maybe I shouldn't have done that.
But the controller felt good, which I was kind of concerned about.
Yeah, it is. It does look kind of big.
It looks big and heavy.
It looks like a bigger Game Gear.
Right, but no, it actually feels fine. I was worried about the analog sticks, actually, because they're not really analog sticks.
They're sliders, like the 3DS.
Yeah, but they feel fine, too. I mean,
I still don't like that there's no L3 R.
You know.
I feel like that's just going to mess up, like, you know, a multi-platform.
You're
losing buttons.
You can figure something out. I mean,
I don't know. I mean, think about playing Call of Duty. What button do you use more besides fire? Run. L3.
You just put that. I don't know. Like I said, you can figure something out. They put God of War on the PSP with much less buttons than they figured shit out. You can figure something out. But I liked it. You know, I didn't come away with it convinced of anything.
Right.
It was definitely neat. I mean, I'm really more concerned about stuff like, what's your online service going to be like? What's your online store going to be like? That's because, like, I know it'll have first party Nintendo games, and those will be cool. That's always a given, right? Everything else is a question mark to me. So, anything else you want to know about the Wii U?
No, that'll do it.
Cool.
So, because I saw the pins, I know you played all the 3DS games.
Yeah, that was actually one of the cool, it was like last year where to play a 3DS, you had to, like, wait in a line, then you're just in the 3DS area until they kick you out. Of course, I'm special, so I got to just go straight in. I know. But, all of the first-party 3DS games were really cool. I liked the Mario game, the one being made by the Galaxy team, which some people were down on.
They are. Well, you see a lot of people likening it to Crash Bandicoot.
What does that mean?
Way. Something about just the way the camera angle and
people
the way
really
it plays.
People need to get over this camera angle thing. I don't understand that. It's just so that you don't have to control a camera. Like, it's just a fixed camera, basically. And it's just a... But, I mean, Galaxy had a fixed camera. It was just slightly more dynamic. Like, you couldn't move the camera on Galaxy, right? Basically?
You could do that thing to hit the C button. It snapped it behind you.
Okay, something like that. But no, that was fine. And, you know, because you have the slider, like, it's like, almost like the 2D Mario games where you hold down a button to run, instead of it being completely analog.
I mean, it's still an analog stick, isn't it?
Well, it's that slider thing, you know?
Yeah, it's analog. I don't know,
but, you know, but that's what you do. I don't know, it felt fine to me, though. It just felt like a 3D Mario game. Some people are like, oh, the controls, they don't feel right. Mario's too floaty this time. I don't know where they're coming from. It felt totally normal to me. The game played really well. The levels look great. I don't know. I don't know what these people are talking about. I think they're just being downers to be downers.
All right, haters gotta hate.
Yeah, haters gotta hate. I don't know. I hate actually saying that because that's kind of a really arrogant thing to say or ignorant thing to say. Like, oh, people probably just hate things because they want to. Like, that's like with Duke Nukem. That's what those people think. Like, oh, they must just want to hate Duke Nukem. I'm sure they have some reason for thinking this, but they are wrong. Luigi's Mansion 2, though, I think everyone liked that, right? Unless you didn't like Luigi's Mansion 1. Because it's basically just more of that. The only problem with it is once you have the vacuum on to control its up-down movement, it's gyroscopes, and once again, that kills the 3D. So
it's such a weird disconnect to me. And Nintendo's messaging on it doesn't help. Like, everyone in the world has said, like, gyroscope in 3D doesn't work, and they, like, never address it.
I'll tell you what Miyamoto says to do. Turn that thing off. Except for cutscenes. That's basically what he said for Ocarina of Time.
For 3D?
Yeah. Like, yeah, you should...
Really?
Yeah, that's basically kind of what he said at the roundtable thing. Turn that thing off. And that's kind of what you have to do, really. You know what I mean? It just happened. Like, Ocarina of Time is the first long 3D game, and I've been playing it, and You know, after a while, you're like, okay, let's turn this thing off now.
Hmm.
That's enough of that.
I just feel like that's just bad. I mean, that seems like that you know, 90% of that system's cachet is, oh, it's 3D,
well,
but
sure,
you should probably turn it off.
Was that really the only reason, like, realistically you were excited about it? I was always really more interested in just the fact that it was...
I don't know, I guess, like, if that's their stance on it, I'd rather they say, look, why don't you just maybe save some of that money in development for the 3D then and just make the system more powerful or something, or not make it $250.
Right. Like I said, I don't know. But it's kind of what you have to do with these gyroscope controls. But, I mean, you know, besides that, the game, we just mentioned, looked really good. It, you know, it basically played like the GameCube game. It had, like, all those kind of, like, hidden neat tricks to get more money, that kind of dynamic thing with all the cloth where you're sucking it up. That looks good. Mario Kart, cool. You know, everything else. You know,
it's Mario Kart.
It's Star Fox, Mario Kart, whatever. Next.
What was your favorite thing you saw at E3?
The best looking game was Bioshock Infinite.
Yes.
Bioshock Infinite looks ridiculous. Kind of looks like a game from the future, is kind of what I say. Like, it literally looks like a next-gen game to me. Like, I don't know what they're running it on, but it's just... Everything is very clean-looking in the game, you know? There seem to be no visual hiccups at all. And just the kind of stuff you're doing, like the big action sequence during the demo, you're ziplining all over the place, you're taking down a zeppelin, you're using all these powers, and your character talks this time, and it's all very dynamic, like he's commenting on what you're doing. He doesn't just have a scripted thing that's waiting for you to cross some random invisible barrier, and then he says it, you know?
Mm-hmm. That's cool.
Like he's self-narrating kind of a thing.
See, that's what I liked about the videos we'd seen, and I wondered how far they'd take that, because I like that, like in the one video they released a while ago, like where he goes to jump on a zipline thing for the first time, he just kind of goes, well, nothing ventured, nothing gained, right. And he jumps. Like, I thought that was so cool, so I'm glad that that's, like, the case for the game.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it definitely feels like Bioshock, like the whole using, not, I guess they're not plasmids anymore, but, you know, you have a gun,
tonics or
you
whatever.
Have the tonic. Yeah. It looked great, basically. It looks amazing.
Cool.
I'll tell you what the big surprise of the show was for me was Prey 2.
Yeah, it's like everybody's saying. I liked your Bitmob box quote for that one.
Yeah, I was like, seriously, I was like, you guys made Prey? Like, what? Because Prey 2 looks really good. Like, technically really cool, and just, I just like the idea of
now,
it.
Did you get to actually see it play?
Yeah, the guy played the demo for us.
I mean... Because they released that, like, kind of CG video of it. Have you seen that?
Yeah.
How does it compare?
It's pretty similar. It's just, like, what you are, you're just a human, and you're, like, the only human in this alien city, and you're a bounty hunter. And, you know, it's like an open world. Like, you walk around, things will, dynamically happen. Like, oh, this guy's getting beat up. Are you going to save him? You know, like, the street missions, basically. But, you know, you have a mission. Mm-hmm. Like, the one mission he showed, we had to go get this guy, right? Some powerful... CD boss or something. So first you have to go find a contact, and this contact is he's in a club, he has a bodyguard. You go up to him and he's like, I'll give you the information you need for 2,000 credits, and you only have like 1,000 credits, so you know you can go do more like other missions or whatever to get some credits, or what this guy does. And you know, it's a cool thing, your gun is not always in the bottom right of the screen. You know, when you pull out your gun and you're down the sights already,
and then it was like, oh, he had a gun.
Well, it wasn't even that. He just pulled out the gun, shot the bodyguard. The bodyguard went flying off the balcony. And then the guy was like, okay. You know, I see your reputation precedes your, you know, whatever. So he gives you the information, begrudgingly.
Cool.
So you go to the club, and you kind of have this scanner where you can constantly, you know, it's like seeing through walls, and, like, people are highlighted by their kind of, like, threat.
I've heard it likened to, like, detective vision, Batman.
Yes, exactly. So you go down there, and you can... The guy's on the second floor, you know that. He's surrounded by bodyguards. You're on the bottom floor, and you see his lieutenant is kind of just hanging around. So what he did is just went up behind him and grabbed him, and like as a hostage. So he has the lieutenant. He goes up the second floor. He's like, come quietly or else, you know? And the guy, he's like, just shoot him. So like the guy's lieutenant, you know, the lieutenant's head just blows up, and the guy goes running. So then it's this pretty long chase thing. And like you have like a kind of like those, you know, those tether balls, whatever you would call them. Where people, like, you throw them at them, they get tied up in the legs.
Oh, okay, yeah, like a grapple kind of
yeah,
thing.
Yeah, you use that. He used it earlier at demo work, but this guy is, like, a short-range teleporter. You just teleport out of that, and you chase them again for a while, and you chase them, you know, until you get them. It just all looks really neat.
And it has some kind of, like, parkour movements.
Yeah, so it's like, right? Yeah, exactly, yeah. There's a lot of parkour in that kind of, you know, mirrors edgy.
That sounds so cool.
It is. That's kind of the thing.
I almost don't know why they're calling it Prey 2.
No, that's actually what I said. Like, why are you throwing that name on there? Because I don't think that really helping you here. You kind of have something really unique going on here. Like, I don't see anything about Prey in this, to be honest.
What was their response?
I didn't actually say that.
Oh.
Maybe I should have.
You did. I was like, wow, good for you.
Maybe I should have. Okay. Any other questions? I saw Skyrim. That looks good. I think they basically showed that demo that everyone was talking about a couple months ago, though. Like, the one where you go to the town and then you go to fight a dragon.
Yeah, then, like, the ice dragon shows up at the end.
Yeah, yeah, that's the exact demo.
Yeah, and as he's fighting it, like, he calls a thunderstorm to battle the dragon.
Right, that was pretty cool.
I was watching that, and I was like, ah, I want so bad.
The dragon shouts in that look pretty neat. Like, the one's basically the force push thing.
Yep, that game's gonna be awesome.
I got to see Uncharted 3, which was really cool. Like, this,
that is cool.
It's cool because they're like little theaters. It was made to look like a cargo plane. And then they just showed it, like, you know, on the screen in there. And of course, the level was like a cargo plane level. So, like, the demo they showed at their press conference was like the ocean liner or something, right? Mm-hmm. The ship. This one was, he's trying to hijack onto a plane as it's taking off. And like I said, it's just one of the things where like, you kind of think that Uncharted can't really, like, what are they going to do next? Like, is it really going to keep being awesome and epic? And it was. But there was actually some really nice acting moments between Drake and Elena in it.
Ooh,
yeah,
good.
Yeah. Oh, that's going to be so good.
I hope that plane doesn't crash in the desert.
Lol. I bet it does.
Ah, gosh. I don't know. Like, anything else you wanted to particularly talk about?
Yeah, some of our arcade titles for this year are looking really good.
Yeah.
I liked Bastion a lot, which is
Everyone's been talking, like, it's like, for an indie game, that's getting a lot of exposure.
Right. It's a nice, it's like an isometric kind of, you know, action RPG, kind of like a Diablo or something. Mm-hmm. The really colorful graphics though, and some neat weapons, and the cool thing is that it has this narrator who narrates like everything you do. Not, you know, literally, like, you know, a lot of it. So like, I'm running away from something, right? And you know how in these games you have a roll and the roll's kind of faster. You just roll, and then there is like, oh, the kid was rolling like crazy trying to get out of there. Just stuff like that neat. Trenched, which is Double Fine's next game.
Yeah.
It's basically like a mech warrior tower defense kind of thing where
I like that.
Right. Like, you have something to defend, you're in a mech, and then you can spring down turrets. And if, you know, not too dissimilar actually from what was that game? Monday Night Combat. Kind of like that, where, you know, it's another kind of like we're bringing the tower defense into other genres thing, and it seemed nice. The insanely twisted pixel planet, or what is that called? You know what I'm talking about?
Yeah,
it's basically Metroid on a spaceship.
Yeah,
actually, it's kind of a lot like that Aquaria game. Remember that? Which was Metroid, but you're swimming. Water. Yeah, kind of like that. Like, your main weapon is kind of this, like, arm that just kind of grabs things and flings them at people. So it's like a twin-stick shooter almost the whole time. But very Metroid-y. That looks pretty cool. So yeah, the Summer of Arcade titles are good. There's another one called From Dust I didn't play, but looked at. It's like a god game.
Oh yeah, that's
god
like a god game.
Yeah.
It's supposed to be pretty good, yeah.
Like, the weakest one I played was like, it was like a toy soldier kind of game where it was just like, it was another wave game where, oh, these people are coming, you better stop them. And it's like in your toy chest. You can control a helicopter or a tank. That was kind of by the numbers, but, you know, whatever. I didn't really get to see the PlayStation Vita. That was, like, the one thing.
Yeah.
So, I don't know. I kind of guess those are sort of the big things I saw at E3, I guess.
All right, sounds good.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. So what have you been playing? All
right. Well, hang on. Before we move on, we should see what our fans said were
their
favorite
things
from E3.
That's right, because... We didn't have
it. We asked them that.
You asked them that. I didn't. How did last week's episode go, by the way? I didn't get a chance to listen.
Very well, thank you.
Oh, good. I'm glad.
Well, let's see. I'll go through these, I guess.
Sure.
So, yeah, we asked, what was your favorite announcement, news item, reveal, trailer, etc., whatever, from E3? Alex Conley, he answered here, PS Vita price point was a pleasant surprise, as was the unveiling of a lot of Dust 514 information. Highlight was getting a trailer for War Game European Escalation, though.
I have to admit, I have no idea what that game is, but I'm glad you're excited. Zach Egolf, who's getting married in a few days, actually.
That's nice.
Congratulations, Zach. Non-motion control Kinect integration. Mass Effect 3 voice commands, Bing search. I'll admit it, I'm pretty excited about how they're tackling Kinect.
I'm not.
I think that Bing search is going to be awesome. I actually, like I was saying this last week, I talked to some people who got to play with it, and they said it's really incredible. Just the way like it unifies everything. You search for something, it search Games Marketplace, Zune Marketplace, Netflix, Hulu, everything. That's pretty cool.
I'm glad he's excited.
Yes. Jim Somerville, Uncharted Golden Abyss is the tops for me, just because it justifies my irrational need for a Vita. Also, all the collections coming out are a step in the good direction, making sure good series don't get their older incarnations trodden upon and left behind in the face of newer, flashier stuff. Lastly, Assassin's Creed Revelations is absolutely breathtaking. The trailer was so beautifully done that for the first time in a long time, I momentarily thought I was watching actors and not rendered video, especially the first moments of the Guardsmen picking up Ezio.
That was a really good trailer.
That's a really good trailer.
I did like that a lot.
Man, that's right. Ezio, it's almost surprising how he's like emerged as like one of gaming's favorite characters all of a sudden.
Yeah, I know. Well, he is. He's a great character.
I mean, yeah, he's awesome. Yeah. It just kind of shows what happens when like, you make a character who actually acts like a human being.
Right.
I mean, that's kind of what Nathan Drake does, too.
Mm-hmm.
Tracy Majeure, she also says, Dust514, holy crap, that sounds so awesome. I don't even own a PS3 yet. It just hasn't been a priority, but buying one just shot up to the top of the list for this game, and yeah, I'll finally tackle Uncharted 1 and 2.
Good.
Combining what would be just another Space Marine game with Eve on the same server is just too damn cool to pass up, especially since I've been meaning to check out Eve for years and just haven't gotten around to it. See, that's why I'm excited about this game. I've tried to play Eve, I think, 4 or 5 times now, and it's such a cool universe, but God, it's just so hard to get into.
Right.
It's just such a steep learning curve, and it literally gets harder by the day as other people get so good at the game. But I think this is cool, that, like, for the people who want to get into Eve, but don't want to put up that learning curve, like, you can participate now.
Right.
Rounding us, the list here are the Robbins Brothers versus Drew. I like what I saw from Super Mario 3DS and Uncharted, of course, but that was just a given. Then Derek jumps in, Skyward Sword being one big dungeon in the overworld and apparently having something of a crafting system.
I played Skyward Sword.
You played it last year too, right?
Yeah, last year, yeah.
How's that looking?
I mean, it wasn't too dissimilar, I guess, just kind of more focused, like, it didn't feel just like a demo setup. I mean, it looks good. I mean, maybe it's just me, but do you feel like there's kind of a lack of excitement for this? For a Zelda game?
I don't know. Again, I feel like they may have announced it too early. Like, when you announced it a year ago, it's like, yeah, it's coming, like, in a year and a half. Like, you're going to see it again at E3 next year.
I mean, but...
I feel like Nintendo's been...
the same thing.
Yeah, I feel like Nintendo's been doing that a lot. Like, I feel like they announced stuff too early.
Well, a lot of Japanese companies kind of seem to do that.
Yeah.
But, I mean, no, it was good. I guess it was Zelda. My one problem is, when you do the Wii Motion Plus controls and it doesn't work one time, it's infinitely infuriating. Because like, if I just had a button, I know it would have worked.
Right.
That's just my one concern there. All right, so what have you been playing?
Child of Eden.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, God, it's so
good. I mean, what
good.
Can you really say about it, though?
It's so good.
That's basically what you can say, because, I mean...
Well, I mean, I talked a lot about this from playing it at PAX. I mean, my big kind of takeaway, spending some more time with it. I didn't realize this at PAX, but you create your bonus multiplier by firing off your Octolock shots in time with the music. So what that kind of, you kind of end up subconsciously doing, you kind of get your whole body kind of bouncing and beat with the music so you could keep the time.
Mm-hmm.
So you're firing off these shots in sync with everything. And, I mean, I've just never had a game that got me so physically involved in it before. Like, you really do kind of lose yourself in playing this game. I mean, playing it on the Kinect is fantastic. I know a lot of people have played with the controller because they either don't have a Kinect or they want it to be more like Rez or something, but I can't see myself playing this game with a controller. It's way fun on Kinect.
It's super cool.
It is. But, I mean, the music's fantastic. The game looks gorgeous. It's a blast to play. I mean, it's just really, really good.
I'm glad you like it.
Thank you. I'm glad too. There was something else I was going to say. Oh yeah, the MotorStorm Apocalypse demo I tackled the other day. I wasn't feeling it.
I've seen it's just MotorStorm.
Well, that's the thing, it's not.
Huh?
Moving MotorStorm away from these cool outdoor environments into an urban setting kind of ruins some of the magic of it, I guess.
Right.
Plus, the thing is, too, like, MotorStorm was already a really busy game because there were a ton of cars in every race of all different shapes and sizes.
Mm-hmm.
So there's like a lot to contend with. And I feel like all the shit blowing up around you actually makes it more difficult to manage everything, especially when you're on the motorcycle.
It's too much.
I was wrecking left and right and still managed to finish second, too. So like, I felt like I was playing pretty shitty and I still got second. Like, I felt like I didn't deserve that. So I don't know. It wasn't working for me, which is disappointing because I really like MotorStorm. Like, Pacific Rift was fantastic.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, I don't know. No, that's the second game. Yes. There is a PSP one. Arctic Storm.
I thought Arctic Storm was the other PS3 one.
No,
I'm wrong. My bad.
You are wrong, but that's okay. But yeah, so I don't know. I didn't care for it.
It happens. It happens.
Yeah, I think the problem is like there are so many just little bits of rubble, and just clipping the tiniest bit of geometry just causes you to wreck,
mm-hmm.
like instantly. And there's like no way you could have avoided it.
Hmm.
Oh. Golly gosh, there's something else that I want. I played a butt ton of Assassin's Creed Brotherhood the other day.
It's a good game.
Probably what I'm going to do after this.
Good game.
It is. Well,
I
realized I've been playing it wrong, because for some reason I became obsessed very early on in the game with like getting all the Borgia towers, and they were really hard, some of them, but I was unlocking them like as many as I could before I, you know, the map was limiting me.
Yeah.
And then I finally got to the point in the game where you start creating your Brotherhood of Assassins. And I was like, damn it, I wish I had those Borgia Towers to go to now, because they'd be really fun. Like,
they're really easy now.
Utilizing all these assassins to do it.
Right.
But that whole system's really cool. Now, what I almost wish they did now, I think it'd be neat if the game could hook into like a Facebook game where you could do all the like sending assassins off to missions and stuff, like from your phone or your computer or something, and it would tie back into the game.
No, yeah. I wouldn't be surprised if that's coming for Revelations.
Yeah,
that's basically what you have to do when you do all that. You're basically playing like an...
Yeah, you're basically playing like a little single-player Facebook game.
Right.
But yeah, that game is awesome.
Mm-hmm.
Let's see. Playing Link's Awakening on my 3DS. And
you have anything new to say about that?
Freaking great game.
Yep.
I think that's it. You talk about something. And well, you've been playing... Ocarina of Time 3D.
Right. Which, you know.
Tell us all about it.
Well, I mean, it's Ocarina of Time.
I heard it looks a lot better.
Oh, sure,
actually.
Yeah, it does look pretty good. You know, it has a graphical update. Things do not look Nintendo 64 ugly.
Yeah.
Which is a very specific kind of ugly that I do not like.
It is.
It's, you know, that those really blurry textures, basically. Yeah, no, it does look a lot better, but you know, it's basically Ocarina of Time, so it's cool.
How do the gyroscope controls work?
You know, you have to turn the 3D off, but you know, it's neat. I like it. It's you know, like anything new to the game, with just those little gimmicks, and yeah, you have no problem with them. It's nice to have that bottom screen to do you know, inventory management and all that stuff, and the maps mm-hmm. down there at all times.
You know, something I didn't realize, you know, everyone hates the water temple in that game.
Yeah.
I mean, not only are the boots just something you could just tap on the screen to put them off and on, but I guess they even changed the dungeon a bit to like color code it to make it easier to navigate.
Right. Like, yeah, they kind of like, because they don't want to change anything, mm-hmm. but they kind of give you better tools this time for that dungeon, I guess. But no, I mean, you know what you're getting into. It's good stuff.
Cool.
That's basically all I played though, so that's that.
All right.
Oh, let me get a...
Guess we should talk about the games that are coming out next week.
Yes, we probably should, as soon as I get those up.
Yeah, me too.
Oh, yeah, I thought we were both clearly awkwardly killing time there. Like, Depredo!
Damn it, GameStop, all right, I don't all care right. about
Duke, you can videos. Forever.
Nope, you gotta go to next week. Remember, we changed
That's
it.
Right. No, they got a 3
it's
on GameStop.
It's all your fault.
Oh, they must have had it in for that game.
Dungeon Siege 3.
360, PS3, PC... Dungeons.
Which is getting some decent reviews.
Like,
eights and stuff.
Yeah.
I liked it. I strangely. It's got a good combat system. I'll give it that.
Ocarina of Time 3D, like we said, coming out Sunday. It's weird. Reviews, they almost all seem to be like 8.5s, which is like this thing where like, oh, the game has aged slightly not, you know, great. Or just 9.5s, like, oh, it's a classic. Those are basically mm-hmm. two reviews you're saying. Fear, 3,
Fear.
Yeah, F3AR, 360 PS3, PC, I don't care. Shadow of the Damned, or Shadows of the Damned, plural, excuse me.
Oh, yes, PC, 360. Oh, this is that game from Suda51. It's out already?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, all right.
Gods and Heroes, Rome Rising for the PC. Sounds exciting. ArmA2 Reinforcements.
ArmA, it's like a super hardcore military combat sim.
Right. Is the Summer of Arcade starting next week or something?
No, but Trench is coming out.
I thought that was a summer.
Is Trench part of it?
Maybe it's not, actually, now I think about it. Maybe it's just a downloadable game. So that's coming out. Back to the Future, Episode 5.
Exciting conclusion.
Right. And, yeah, that looks to be just about it.
Some joke.
There's Gummy Bear's Magical Medallion for the Wii. So
that fishing game for the 3DS.
You know, those are exciting, right? Maybe that fishing game for the 3DS is amazing. We don't know. We'll never play it. Maybe it'll go. Yeah. Maybe no one will ever play it, and we won't know. It's the best.
Secretly the best game ever.
Yeah. All right. Thanks for listening, everybody. You can find more of us at explodingbro.wordpress.com and at the iTunes Music Store and the Zoom Marketplace.
I'm trying to think. How many more shows until I leave? Two more.
Oh, shit. You're doing that again. Yeah, you're going.
Yeah, yeah.
It'd be fun if you missed the 200th episode. You won't, though. But
no, the 200th episode is not until September.
It's coming up, though. But anyways, you can find us on Twitter, twitter.com/explodingbarrel, facebook.com/explodingbarrel. Was that everything? Were those all the things?
So.
All the things you
those are the
through?
Things we do.
Yes.
Yes.
All right. Thanks again for listening, everybody. We'll see you next time right here on the Exploding Barrel Podcast. Bye.
Mike Minotti of the Exploding Barrel Podcast wants you to believe he's just like you.
I'm level one.
A humble, socially awkward nerd just trying to make his way in the internet.
I don't know what the fuck is going on.
But beneath that jolly cherub-like exterior, there lurks something darker. A history of domestic abuse.
That high 57 don't come cheap, bad guy.
A lack of respect for his audience.
Macgory?
And a bizarre hatred of the Swedish.
For the order, idiot redemption.
Some have disagreed with Mr. Minotti's tactics, but what's happening to them?
They're being shipped out! They're being purged!
Is that what you want from your podcasts? And if so, what's wrong with you? Learn the truth at explodingbarrel.wordpress.com.